Welcome to the MPC Podcast. I am Tim W. Gill, pastor of Medora Pentecostal Church, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us today. Here at MPC, we are committed to bringing hope and building lives. One way we do that is through this podcast. Thank you for listening, for sharing and reviewing what we do here. It is our desire to connect with you, and you can find us on Facebook, or you can find us at our website, medorachurch.com. It is our prayer that today's message inspires you, encourages you, and that the kingdom of God is advanced in your life. Let's get right to the word of the Lord today.
Let me set the stage just for a minute before we get to our text. Just remain standing. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever encountered a hooligan? Do you know what a hooligan is? How about a real punk? Obnoxious, loud, hard-headed, angry, arrogant. A thug. Just a thug. You met those kind of folks in your life? Usually they're young folks because, you know, that's what thugs are, young folks. Not older people. These kind of thugs, these hooligans, these delinquents, these punks, they're just out to prove a point. They're out to show themselves who they are. They're aggressive, they're bold, they're troublemakers. You know, thugs act tough, don't they? Thugs are bullies. Amen. But they're nothing more than rowdy hooligans. That's all they are. Hooligans. Thugs are disrespectful and downright moody too, but rude. They're rude. Amen. Be advised this morning, there are thugs among us. Who, Pastor? Who? We're all nice people. There's thugs among us. As a matter of fact, we all deal, every one of us, with thugs every day. A rascal every day. A punk every day. There's a troublemaker inside of all of us. There's a thug inside of all of us. So this morning I want to talk to you about the thug within. The thug within. Somebody's saying, it looks like me. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. You know this passage of scripture. It's a tongue twister. It's kind of a riddle about this thing called the flesh, the thug. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Man, I want to do right, but I have this thing called a thug that stops me. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do right, then there's that thug, that punk, that hooligan that wants to show itself. It is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, thug that I am. Oh, punk that I am. Paul said it, didn't he? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh the law of sin. Now if you jump to the next chapter, he flips the script. He begins talking about something different. It's called the Spirit. It's called the Spirit. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the thug, after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this morning, for a few minutes, we're going to deal about the thug within. Heavenly Father, we love you today and we thank you, God, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray, God, for your help in this matter today. Lord, I truly stand as someone who deals with the thug daily, that deals with that old flesh daily. Lord, and when it looks like I've got the victory, it likes to crop its head back up. Lord, but you have given to us the power to overcome. You've given us to your Spirit to walk therein. Lord, so we would not fulfill, Lord, the desires of the thug within. And we give you praise for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, the thug within. You can be seated. Chapter 7 of Romans has a lot of eyes. Paul speaks here and he said, I speak. I had not known. I was alive and I died. I found. I'm carnal. I allow not. I would. I do not. I hate. I do. I would not. I consent. I know. I find. I delight. I see. I am myself. 19 times. If I had enough fingers out there to hold them all up. 19 times he says, I. I. Amen. Romans 7 is an agonizing picture of the struggle that every one of us face. Every one of us has this thing inside of us called the flesh. Today for this message, I'm calling it a thug. I'm pointing it out. I'm declaring that it's a hooligan. It's an adversary. It's not for me. It's against me. There is a mentality today that everybody is basically good people. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what, well, Pastor, you're just really being offensive. You're going to trigger us. Well, the Bible is absolutely a bazooka trigger. When it comes to the gospel of dealing with this thing called flesh, dealing with me, does anybody besides Pastor have a problem with the thug within? Amen. Does anybody have issues with this thing called the flesh? Now, you and I battle on three battlefronts every day. Every day, the child of God wages a war on these three battlefields. We wage a battle with the spirit world, Satan and the forces of darkness. And we also, to a lesser degree, battle with the world and its systems and its culture and its attitude. But the biggest battle that you and I face is not Satan. It's not this world. It's the man in the mirror. It's that one we look at every day. Amen. And we look at that and we either say, perhaps I've got this, I'm victorious over that, or the flesh begins to drag us down. Our greatest fight is with the thug within. Being born again puts the new Christian into a place of new spiritual combat. For hell unleashes great attacks against a new convert to destroy them before they have a chance to mature. The collective forces of darkness and the enemy attack our mind, attack our body, our soul, and spirit. It is with a concerted effort to separate us from the love of God. Amen. But the word said nothing. Nothing shall be able to separate us, no external force. There's nothing on the outside that can separate you from the love of Christ. Can you give God praise for that? There's not a devil big enough to get you out of church. There's not a devil big enough to stop you from serving God. There is not a world crazy enough and a culture out of order and in chaos enough to get you away from God's love. There's only one thing that'll get us out of the love of God, and that is our own flesh. It is if we walk away. It is if we reject. If we decide to follow this thing called flesh. Amen. The thug that we fight is the man or the woman in the mirror. And it wants us to, that flesh wants to be the master. That's why I'm calling it a thug. It wants to take over. That flesh wants to lead us around. Amen. And tell us what to do, how to think, what to be. Oh, but I want to tell you that we can have victory over the flesh. Amen. Praise be to God. Victory over the flesh. So this word flesh refers to more than just a physical body. It refers to the nature of man, specifically the fallen nature of man. Flesh comes from the Greek word sarx that indicates human nature with its frailties and its passion. It also encompasses the mindset. The Bible calls it being carnally minded. Amen. When Adam and Eve fell, we find that the law of sin that Paul talked about in the scripture today, the law of sin or the sin principle entered into the human race. This corrupt and sinful nature is automatically transmitted through birth, through procreation. Amen. Humanity's bloodline not only carries with us physical properties like generational features and generational personalities, but it also carries with it spiritual things called sin. You know what? This beautiful baby over here and that beautiful baby there and that beautiful baby there, they are some of the most innocent, pristine, wonderful looking things on the planet. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't we have beautiful babies in the house today? Amen. But they're one day going to step in and have to deal with this thug inside of them. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, you never have to teach your children how to lie. They'll do it on their own. You never have to teach your children how to be stubborn. They'll do that on their own. You never have to teach your children how to disobey. They'll do that on their own. Can anybody say amen? Why is it that way? Because, you know, mom and dad, they good folk. Grandma and grandpa, good folk. But yet those kids begin to raise up. Why? There is a sin nature inside of every human being. And either we deal with it by new birth or it will conquer us and it will lead us down the road of sin. Can I tell you today, all these mass shootings, what is behind these mass shootings? What is behind all the looting and robbing and thievery and conniving and all the mess? It's one word, sin. Sin. Thugs rise to the top. Sin rises to the top because that's the nature of man. It's the very nature of man. Doesn't have to be changed. It doesn't have to be trained. It has to be changed. When we are converted, our soul becomes redeemed and is saved, but our flesh does not. If our flesh was saved, I wouldn't have these aches and pains. Amen. If our flesh was saved, we wouldn't have to deal with these lines on our faces and bald heads. Whew, as good looking as we are, Brother Austin. We wouldn't have to deal with the things that are attacking our mind and attacking our life. But that is the nature that every day, every person is going to have to decide what is going to win or who is going to win. Is it going to be the thug or is it going to be the spirit? Is it going to be the flesh or is it going to be the spirit? When we're converted, our soul is saved, but our flesh, our human desires, our human feelings, our tendencies, is still dealing with the things of the flesh. The Word of God declares that we will get a redemptive body, a redeemed body, a changed body one of these days. Hallelujah. Somewhere between here and there, there's going to be a great transformation at the last trump, for the trumpet shall be sounding and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be called up together to be with the Lord, and we shall be change. Hallelujah. Can you believe that there will be a day we'll never have to deal with temptation again? We never have to deal with this old flesh again. We never have to deal. But until then, God said, I'll put my spirit in you. I'll put my word in you, and you can overcome, because there is therefore now no condemnation to those that walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. The Word of God tells us a lot about the flesh. Let me list some things that the Bible talks about this thing called flesh. We're calling it a thug. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Sometimes it seems opposite than that, doesn't it? The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The will of the flesh is against the will of God. John 1:13. The flesh profits nothing. John 6:36. The lust of the flesh are exposed as the work of the flesh. The filthiness of the flesh is spoken of in 2 Corinthians 7:1. The desires of the flesh are talked about in Ephesians 2:3. The flesh is not to be trusted. Philippians says in 3:34, the flesh when sown will reap corruption. If the flesh is sown after, will reap corruption. Galatians 6:8. The sins of the flesh are noted in Colossians 2:11. Flesh spots on our garments are said to be destroying the part of righteousness. Jude 23. The flesh is not to be leaned upon. Jeremiah 17:5. The birth of the flesh is in contrast to the birth of the spirit. For Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. The war is going on. What is going to lead us? Is the thug going to lead us, or is the spirit going to lead us? I've realized today that we're not going to probably swing from the chandeliers on this message. I realize there won't be a lot of running the aisles, but if you'll listen to your pastor today, I want to help you deal with the thing called flesh. Deal with this thing called flesh. It's a war. It is a war over lordship. It is a war over authority. Amen. Do you know the world today that is going down, the craziness, all the craziness that is happening in our world today is about the flesh? I want what I feel. I want to be what I want to be. I want to think what I want to think. Amen. Oh my, the flesh is rising up. It is now self is God. Self is so important to what I think and how I want to be. Look at what Galatians 5:17 says. For the flesh, for the thug, lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There is a contrariness there, for these are contrary the one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that we would. We have the natural man, and we have the spiritual man. We've got the flesh, and we've got the new man born again, all inside of us. And the one we feed is the one that will win. The one we feed is the one that will win. Let's look at this dueling between the two. There are two births. Two births. Somebody say two births. Every saint has experienced two distinct births in their life, one natural and one spiritual. With two such experiences, how can we expect anything less than a struggle between the original birth of flesh and the second birth, we could say. The firstborn is flesh, and the secondborn is the spirit of man. For we find that, again, Jesus said, that which is born of flesh, we are born natural. We are of blood. We are of bone. We are of flesh. We have wills and thoughts and feelings of the flesh. But then he said, that which is born of spirit is spirit. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive a new nature. I said that's a new nature that we receive. Amen. When we find that there is a new man walking in our shoes, then the elder has got to serve the younger. We know this, that Ishmael was the elder. He was born first of the flesh, but Isaac was born of the promise and of the spirit. The war that is going on in the Middle East right now is over that same relationship. Ishmael, Isaac. There's two natures. Every Christian, by the nature of by the fact that you are a Christian, a born again believer, you possess two natures. Everybody say, I got two natures. That's when somebody says, well, I knew there was something wrong with you. You got split natures. Well, thank the Lord, because this old nature, it's not something that I want driving me. Amen. We by natural birth have a human, carnal, and earthly nature. Amen. You will find verses in Scripture that say something like this. Doesn't nature teach you? 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doesn't nature teach you that it is a shame for a man to have long hair? That's what that verse really says. Anybody want to look it up? But doesn't nature, there's a nature that we have inside of us. And then we have the spirit man as well. Because we are born again, we are partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. It talks about the nature of the flesh. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our thug, desiring or fulfilling the desires of the thug and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the, somebody say it, the divine nature. So I've got the old nature and I have the divine nature inside of me. I've got a birth. I've got two births. Amen. I have two natures. Then I have two walks. Walk here refers to the order of behavior, how one conducts themselves. It's like two roads rise to meet us. Jesus said that there was a narrow way that leads to life, and there is a broad way that leads to destruction. We decide what walk we're going to walk on, what road we're going to walk on. Amen. We can walk in the flesh, and according to Paul, we will find ourselves fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Paul also presented it to us, a walk of the Spirit. Amen. This is the battle, brothers and sisters. What walk we're going to go? What road we're going to go down? Every day we get up and decide, today is flesh leading me, is thug leading me, or is the Spirit leading me? I need the Holy Spirit to lead me. So there's two natures, there's two births, there's two walks, there's two laws. law here is defined as a principle, a guiding principle, rather than a decree. So we can say there's two principles. Amen. The law of sin and death refers to the original principle. Man was possessed under the fall in Romans 8 and 12. The law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life delivers us and makes us free from the law of sin and death. You and I do not have to go sinning. We do not have to have sin being the guiding principle of our life. But if the law of life and liberty is our principle, then we can say, thug, you're not telling me what to do with my money. Thug, you're not telling me what to do with my time. Thug, you are not telling me what to do with my relationships. Oh, praise be to God. Oh, praise be to God. So we have two laws. We also have two fathers. In Adam, every one of us died. We are all related. People come to the door and said, this family is related to that family. But really, we're all related to Adam. All the way back to Adam and Eve. We're related. Amen. But in Christ, we're all related in life. In Adam, we're related in death. It's appointed unto man once to die. Because Adam and Eve messed up, it's appointed unto man once to die. But now in Christ, amen, we have a heavenly Father. By his word, we have been begotten of a lively hope. The Bible says that we have Adam as our father on the natural. And then we have our heavenly Father that we've been born again by his word. Oh, praise be to God. I know you may have had a bad dad on this earth. You may have had an awful father on this earth. Or you may have had a great father. But still yet, we're men. But there's a heavenly Father that you can look to. Amen. Can you lift up your voice right now and give praise to our heavenly Father today? Hallelujah. So we have two fathers. We also battle two different mindsets. Two different mindsets. We have that which is the carnal mind, that is enmity against God, seeks to dominate our life, seeks to, for us to have the wrong kind of direction in our life. Amen. But then there's the spiritual mindset that brings life and peace. And we walk after that, obeying and abiding in the word of God. Amen. A spiritual mindset. How many of you battle the things of the flesh that get it right here in your mind? The war is right here in our mind. Some of you are battling with it right now, today, at this very moment, battling with the things of the mind and thinking and thinking a certain direction. Oh, but when we begin to say, I submit to the Holy Spirit, you put the thoughts in my mind. You influence me by your word today. Oh, which mindset is going to win? Let it be the Spirit. Let it be the Spirit that wins. There's also two different types of people listed in Scripture. Paul says the old man is born carnal. The old man. If I say the old man, that old person, that old outward man, that fleshly man that Paul said was the old man. And then he also describes the new man, who is after Christ created the inward man, the inner man renewed by the power of Christ. Amen. And we put off old things and we put on new things. Amen. When you come to the Lord, you've got to put off the old way of thinking, the old nature, and you take on the new nature. Oh, praise be to God. Can you say amen? All right, let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. It's talking about, again, the two walks, the two natures, the thug and the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, Pastor, I just can't help myself. I just can't help myself. Number one, we got to quit saying the devil made me do it. Amen? We've got to stop saying it's the devil's fault. Don't blame it on the devil. It's the devil that made me do it. No, it wasn't the devil. It was our own flesh that leads us astray. So it says, if we walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against or desires or longs for against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. No wonder Paul would say, that I would do, I don't do. It's right there before me. I would try, but I can't. Amen. It seems like that I should be further along at the age of 62, and I shouldn't be falling on my face sometimes dealing with this thug. But I've got to deal with him every day, and I'm going to deal with him until the Lord comes back or y'all put me in the ground. Somebody say, me too. We're going to deal with this flesh. We're going to deal with this old thug. We're going to deal with this punk, this hooligan that comes into our world and says, I'm going to drag you around by your nose. I'm going to tell you what you do. How many times have you done something you thought, how in the world did I fall into that again? Right. What? Oh, I should have thought differently. It's that war. It's that tug of war. And if we don't recognize it and don't fight it, the flesh will continue to bring us back in into that battlefield. Amen. Verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Praise the Lord. Now the works. Somebody say the works. The works of the flesh. The works, the results of what we do, the product of our thinking and acting. Amen. It's as if sometimes we feel like, how did I get here? Well, if you go back, you will find that there was some thoughts that come into your head and led down that path. And the enemy will come along and then kind of nudge with temptation and encourage. The devil studies you and me. He studies our thug life. He studies what we do in private. He studies what we do on the computer by ourselves, on our phones by ourselves. He knows what our attitudes are. He knows what we engage in. And he's going to put that temptation out there because of the thug inside that says, I want that. I got to have that. You know what? There were some things that was preached against years ago that we just stayed away from because it was just good common sense. Now we want to try to walk the tightrope over what is heaven and hell, what is heaven and hell, what is heaven and hell. I want to tell you, if you're going to deal with the thug that is inside of you, you got to get away from the line. You got to get away from how close I can get to the world, how near I can live like the world and still be okay. Amen. Because I'm going to put up a roadblock. The Spirit says, over here is safety. Over here. Here is victory. Over here, danger. 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 Well, I'm just going to go date this person over here, and we're going to go on a missionary date. Oh, can I get an amen? All right. I'm just going to go hang out at this meeting. I'm going to go with my buddies. You all remember Brother Cooley, Brother Tim Cooley had a successful business and he went hanging out with more successful people in business, and all it took was one beer, one can of beer. And from one can of beer, he went from that, whatever that one beer cost, to spending $60,000 a year on cocaine. How do you get there? How do you get to that point? By walking down the tightrope. Let's see how close I can get, how near I can get. And this flesh, this thug, is going to push you off. It's going to just push you off. Amen. So if we're walking in the Spirit, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to walk away from that edge. You see, I may be saying no to some things that's not going to keep me out of heaven, but it'll keep me away from the line. It'll keep me away from the danger. I'm going to walk over here where the Spirit of the Lord is. Oh, praise God. Now, Pastor, you're preaching right here. Somebody say amen. They are the works of the flesh, and they are manifest, which are these. These are works: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. We say, those will never happen to me. Well, I can point you to people that walk the edge, that it did happen to them. And if we feel like, well, I'll never fall, what does Paul say that is? Be careful lest a man thinketh lest he fall. I believe that we need to make sure that the old thug is not telling us what our desires are. What our desires are. Amen. He says, this is the work of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies and envy and murders and drunkenness and revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The thug life is the work of the flesh that comes in and says, this is okay. Amen. And we forget altogether, the word says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The word says, Jesus said, even if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already done something in your own head. If there was no other verse that you should know that is against pornography, that is it. Amen. What we do up here matters. What we feed the thug matters. What we watch matters. So why does he distinguish between adultery and fornication? Okay, those both sound very familiar, don't they? Well, they're not. Because adultery is that which happens in a marriage or outside of a marriage, one that has relationships with another that is outside of the marriage. But fornication deals with every illicit and illegal sexual activity from A to Z. Anything that's outside of God's prescribed relationship in marriage, where the Bible says that in marriage the bed is undefiled, that God prescribed that for a joyful relationship, a monogamous relationship of one husband, one wife, all time, long time. Till death do you part. We still believe that? Amen. Okay. And so when he says fornication, he uses the Greek word porneia. You could get the gist there. That's where we get the English word pornography. It talks about the illicit sexual activity. That's why when Jesus said, he gave the cause for approving of adult divorce and marrying again, he didn't say adultery. He said fornication. He said that covers every blanket illicit sexual relationship, amen, that gives you a cause for a divorce and remarriage. Amen. I want to tell you today that this is the work of the flesh. It is the work of the thug that says adultery's not bad. Fornication's no longer bad. Let's just do all we want to do. Let's just live however we want to live. But that flesh tugs on us. The commandment was given in Acts 15, 29. This was given to the new Gentile church members. It says that you abstain. Somebody say abstain. Abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. Can I tell you the best antidote to abortion is abstinence. I wish I got more than a good little Baptist nod there. Amen. Do we still preach that? Amen. Do we still preach that? Save yourself for marriage. Save yourself for marriage. Because that's what the word is telling us here. Abstain from that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, flee, run from it. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Amen. Paul told the Ephesians, he says, don't let fornication be even named among you. Mortify it. Colossians, he said, mortify fornication. He told the Thessalonians, abstain from fornication. These are the works of the thug. This is the work of the thug. Oh, God is merciful to forgive. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that when the flesh has led us down the road, amen, and has caused us to do things that we shouldn't do? Oh, praise be to God that there is repentance, there is restoration, there is forgiveness in the house of the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. He said the work of the flesh is uncleanness. Uncleanness is that which is anti-holiness. God's not called us to uncleanness, 1 Thessalonians 4:7, but unto holiness. Then he uses the word lasciviousness. This is wanton, undisciplined, unmanageable, loose, unrestrained, senseless, reckless, arrogant, ignoring the laws of God and the laws of decency and morality. Amen. Oh God, help us to understand that we live in a society that is drunk on sexual perversion, drunk on it. And everything is now sexualized and everything is meant to be that gratification of the flesh. And somebody's got to say, that's the thug life. That's not a holy life. That's the thug life. Let me just stop here. What one generation does with permission, the next generation will do with excess. What you allow in one generation, the next generation will go on and do it. Can I tell you? People, Sister Gill shared this with me the other day. Someone had put this on Instagram, I believe, but it was talking about a man who by himself in his dark room or all alone is involved in pornography, opens the door for his son who has never seen him do that, but he's giving permission for the enemy to his house. He gives that enemy come in and say, all right, I'm just going to open the door, letting the rats in, let all this stuff come in, and you know what? It'll go right by him to his children. It's very important that we understand that you and I are the floodgate breakers. We're the ones that hold back the tide. No, I'm not going to submit to this because I got a son over here that is going to deal with things in this next generation I never thought about dealing with, and things that will be in his face that will be thrust against him. Oh God, let me have some kind of gumption to say no to the thug in me so he can say no to the thugs of his day. Stand up, men, and say, not in my house, thug. All right. Not in my house. Not in my mind. This word here, lasciviousness, is an English word we don't use very often, but it means the absence of restraint, indecency, wantonness. One of the evils that proceeded from the heart is wantonness. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Peter says here, and many shall follow their pernicious. That's the same Greek word. Wanton ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I want to tell you today, we've got to be careful how we live, because we're holding up the bloodstained banner. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel, but neither do I want to be ashamed to the gospel. Hallelujah. I want to live in a way that holds up the bloodstained banner of truth. Oh God. Oh God. In this hour that we're living in, we are like Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation, lascivious conversation. Oh, let us rise above it and say, thug, you're not going to rule my mind, my life. Idolatry is another work of the flesh. Idolatry, anything that we set between us and God is idolatry. Anything. It's another thing that Paul told the Corinthians, flee from idolatry. He also said to the Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 5, mortify. Somebody say kill. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Amen. It's a work of the flesh. Today, our world is so stuck on the idol of self. The idol of self. Then he says another work of the flesh is witchcraft. Witchcraft. Amen. Samuel told Saul, rebellion. 1 Samuel 15:23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as it is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. I want to tell you, witchcraft is on the rise. Wicca on the rise. Pagan worship is on the rise. When you see somebody, hear your pastor, when you see somebody in Hollywood, in the media, that is also all in on the Babylon's alphabet soup. When you see somebody that has done that, you can rest assured that somewhere they kissed the ring of a devil. Somewhere they have bowed their knee to idolatry. Somewhere they have given in, because we have for hundreds and hundreds of years said that this is not normal behavior. All right? I'm not even talking about the church. I'm talking about this is not normal behavior. Somewhere somebody's got to say to that spirit, I accept it. I kiss it. I am not going to kiss the ring of some pagan god in the name of Jesus. Let's believe the word. Amen. The thug life is about hatred. 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 This is the opposite of agape love. It's hostility against the things of God. Amen. Hatred is a work of the flesh. Let me just run through these. Variance. Variance is quarreling. Quarreling. Debating. Strife. Contention. Somebody say, Facebook. You know what? The news channels is no longer news anymore. Yep, pastor done turn into bishop right here. It's not news anymore. It's quarreling. It's debating. It's fighting. On and on and on. That's variance. And then we find emulation. That's jealousy. This is what I want. It is punitive zeal. I want that. I've got to have that. You've got it. Now it's mine. Amen. I don't want that thug telling me how to live. Amen. Wrath or hot anger. Oh, Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. Strife is another thug life. Strife, making parting, divisions, self-seeking ambition. Sedition is another thug life. That is keeping it into, I'm on this side and you're on that side. Hallelujah. Paul said to the Romans 16 and 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, avoid them. Then he talks about heresies. This is false doctrine. Envies, amen. What others have, I want. That murders is to slaughter, drunkenness, intoxication, reveling, rioting, and carousing, and party making. Paul said that these are the works of the thug, and they will not enter the kingdom of God. But then he says, oh, I love scripture, don't you? Because there's always, always glory if you look around. Look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions, with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So what does the Bible say? You either going to have a work of the flesh or you're going to have a fruit of the Spirit. You're either going to have a work of the thug or you're going to have a fruit of God's blessings. Oh, praise be to God. The old man has got to be crucified in Christ. The old man has got to be buried with him. Amen. I thank the Lord today that we can have victory over the thug. How do we do that? Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Stand with me, please. How do we deal with this thug? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live in the, what? The flesh. The life I live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what are spiritual activities that keep us in this place of victory over this thug life, over this thug called the flesh? Somebody say prayer. Prayer kills the flesh. Fasting, Bible study, faithful church attendance, working in the altar, having communion, washing saints' feet, loving our enemies, giving our time and our money to the kingdom of God, witnessing. There's a few ways that we can crucify this flesh. Every lawful, allowable human desire, no matter how scriptural, must at some point be tested by the Spirit, curbed, controlled, abstained from for a season if need be. Every one of us has got to learn how to put the thug under our thumb and say, I got you. Spirit man's got you. Amen. Let's look at
thank you for listening to the MPC podcast. We trust that today's message has inspired you, encouraged you, and strengthened you in the Lord. We would like to invite you to join us again by simply subscribing to our podcast, and we encourage you to write a review if it has been a blessing to you. Again, you can find us at medorachurch.com to learn more about our ministry.